There are many leaders and people in the Church of Jesus Christ today who say we have never had it so good. They look at the condition of the Church of Jesus Christ today and they say, in essence, I'm okay, you're okay, everything is just fine. But I must admit, when I hear that conclusion, it causes me some concern. And the concern comes from several different reasons. First of all, I recognize that no one is very hard on themselves. Not nearly as hard as we should be on ourselves when we are judging our own traits and our own characteristics and our own lifestyle. And secondly, the hand of justice is very unsteady when it is trying to pass judgment on itself. And then I'm also reminded of a scripture verse that says that those who compare themselves among themselves are unwise. And as a result of this conclusion of many of the leaders in the Church of Jesus Christ today, many believers have come to a false conclusion. They have concluded that they are spiritually just fine. Their spiritual condition and lifestyle is doing very well. There's no difficulties, there's no cause for concern, there's no reason to be upset or worried. And they have arrived at that conclusion falsely. And as a result, the Church of Jesus Christ today is in a very difficult strait. We have come to a false conclusion about our condition. And it reminds me of a psalm, Psalm 106, that talks about the children of Israel as they were coming out of Egypt towards the promised land and as they were going through the wilderness. It describes their experiences and their reaction towards God. And at one stage in their passage through the wilderness, they complained against God because He did not send them meat. And so they prayed and they begged God for meat. And God sent them meat. And the reference in Psalm says that God answered their prayer, but He sent leanness to their soul. In other words, He heard their cry for meat and He provided it for them. But as a result, because of their failure to really sense their true spiritual condition before God, they were lean spiritually. They were not in the condition they should have been. This describes a very common condition for the children of Israel, one which is covered in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was the prophet during the time of King Josiah. King Josiah was the young king, came to his role as the king of Judah at a very young age, 6 years old, if I remember my history correctly. Well, in Jeremiah chapter 6, we read these verses regarding the condition of the people of Judah. It says this, starting in verse 14, it says, "They have healed also the hurt of their daughter, of my people, slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus says the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." During the early reign of Josiah as the king of Judah, he instituted many religious reforms. He brought back the animal sacrifices for the temple. He rebuilt the temple. He reinstituted the law that God had given to Moses on the mountain and in the wilderness. And he tore down all of the idols and all of the high places where they had worshipped false gods. And he totally destroyed every trace of false worship out of the land. And by all appearances, it looked like these people were really following after God. But God looked down on their heart and saw that their hearts were far from Him. Outwardly, they looked like they were following and obeying God, But inside, in their heart of hearts, and in their spirit, they were not worshiping God at all. And as to this very setting and to this kind of condition, so similar like ours today in the Church of Jesus Christ, that God sent Jeremiah. And he sent Jeremiah with this very prophecy and this challenge that I've just read for you, describing their true spiritual condition. And he challenged them with spiritual revival. We find in this passage, in these few short verses that I just read for you, we find in there clues that indicate for us the true spiritual condition of these people. And we also find God's remedy, God's pathway that he wanted them to take in order that they might experience true spiritual revival. First, I would like us to look at the symptoms of rebellion against God. And we'll take a look at those first, real quickly. In verse number 14, it says, "They have healed the hurt of thy daughter slightly." Now, what does that mean? Well, first, let's look at it just in a generic realm. What do the words mean? That word there that says he has healed their daughter talks about mending a broken bone or sewing together something that has been torn apart. And it's been mended. And so he uses that word here to say his people have been healed. They have been mended. But notice it says they've only been mended slightly. In other words, the injury was only partially healed and fixed. Well, now what does that mean in a spiritual application? It means this very simply. On the outward, it looked like these people were spiritually healed and strong and healthy. But when you came up close and you examined them closely, you discovered they were not healed at all. But it was only healed slightly. It was not complete and total restoration. So God was saying here through his prophet Jeremiah, they look good until you get up real close. And when you get close to them, you see that there is sin. And the point that he was trying to make out here for these people is that they were self-righteous. They looked at themselves and they said, "We are healed. We are fine. There is nothing wrong with us. We are very orthodox in our belief and very orthodox in our faith. We believe God's word. We look to it for truth. And we understand it. We have a knowledge of God's word. We are very good." And they were very self-righteous. The scriptures tell us in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus spoke with very strong condemnation against the Pharisees of his day. They were the religious leaders who were acting just like these people, very self-righteous. They followed the law. They said that they trusted God, but their hearts were far from him. And it caused the Lord Jesus to say to them very strongly, he called them whited sepulchers. In other words, they were very pretty on the outside, and they looked white and pure on an outward basis. But inside, they were just like tombstones. They were full of dead men's bones. There was no true spiritual life within them. And it caused the Lord Jesus further to say that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you will never enter into the kingdom of God. So it takes more than just orthodox faith. The scriptures tell us, in fact, that the demons and the devils are orthodox in their faith. They believe the scriptures, it says, and they tremble. So you can be very orthodox in your faith and yet not have true spiritual life inside. That's the way the people were to whom Jeremiah spoke. And it's a challenge to us today. Are you like that? Are you self-righteous on the outside, but inside full of death and having no true spiritual life? So that was the first symptom of their spiritual decay and of their spiritual smugness. The second symptom that we notice here is Also in verse number 14, it says that they said to each other, "Peace, peace," and there was no peace. They defended themselves as though they were true and right. They were self-defensive. They were very strong on apologetics. They could defend God's word. They could explain and describe what they believed, and they could defend it very fiercely, and they did. But yet God said, "You say there's peace, peace, but there is no peace. It is a false conclusion you have drawn about your true spiritual condition." Isn't that a lot like many believers of the Church of Jesus Christ today who are just defensive about themselves? They can defend the truth of God's Word very effectively. They are very strong in their ability to defend and describe what the Bible teaches. That's called apologetics. They can defend it very vehemently and very clearly, very effectively. Yet there is no true spiritual life. Then we find other means that believers today try to be defensive of their faith. We see it by looking at their success. And they say, "We are successful. The church has never been so large. We have never had so many people attending. We've never had so many offerings come in. We've paid for everything in cash. We owe debts to no man. We must be in good condition." When in reality, all they are doing is defending themselves on the outward appearance. And then in addition, another way we try to defend our position as being strong and able and healthy is by pointing to all of the endorsements that we get. Let me explain what I mean by endorsements. We are very quick to point out our spiritual heroes. Those that we point to that say, "Look how great we are because so-and-so believes in God." And we especially like to point to athletes or famous business people or people who are in movies and television, and we like to point them out and say, "They believe in God. Isn't it wonderful?" And it's used as a defense to try and prove how wonderful things are in the church today. And yet the Scriptures remind us of how false the outward is. Man looks on the outward appearance, the Scriptures say, but God looks at the heart. And so there's a second symptom we see here, and that is self-defense. They try to defend themselves, just like the Pharisees did. "We are in good condition because we believe all that the Scriptures say." Then we see a third symptom of their spiritual decay, and that's in verse number 15. It says, "Were they ashamed when they had committed abominations?" No, they were not ashamed at all. They didn't even blush. Well, what's the point here? The point that the prophet is pointing out here is that these people were self-satisfied. They looked at their spiritual condition and they said, "We are just fine. There's nothing wrong with us. We have committed no sin." And even when the prophet came to them and pointed out to them their sin, they didn't even blush. It didn't even affect them. It just was like water rolling off a duck's back. It didn't even challenge them to change their thinking about themselves. They just said, "No, there's nothing wrong with me. I am very satisfied and very content." The Scriptures remind us in Amos chapter 6, verse 1, who was a prophet a little bit earlier than Jeremiah. He says, "Woe unto those people who are content and satisfied in Zion." And that's what these people were. They were self-satisfied. They could not even see their own sin when the prophet came and pointed it out to them. They were so self-satisfied. Well, those are the three symptoms that indicate and prove to us their true spiritual condition. They were self-righteous, they were self-satisfied, and they were self-defensive. All of them looking to the outward and not handling or dealing or answering the questions of the heart. Now we see God's challenge through Jeremiah as to the path they should now take to spiritual revival. Notice, if you will, in verse number 16, it says, "Thus said the Lord, stand ye in the paths and see and ask for the old paths." Well, now what is the prophet saying when he says that? What he is describing for them is someone standing at a fork in the road. Maybe you've stood at a fork in the road. And you're at the fork in the road, and you're trying to decide whether to go to the right hand or whether to go to the left hand, and trying to make a choice. And God says, that's how you are. You're standing at a fork in the road, and you're being tempted to go in the wrong direction. And he says to them, the path that I want you to take is the old path. Well, now, what was the old path? Well, if we turn back in the Old Testament, we turn back to Exodus chapter 19, we can find very clearly for us the old path that God had laid down for his children. Exodus chapter 19 is that setting in the wilderness where they've just come out of Egypt. They've been out of Egypt only 3 months. God called Moses up onto the mountain. He wanted to talk to him and give direction to them as to what they were to do and how they were to respond to him as their God. And he gave them very clear direction of the path he wanted them to take. It tells us in Exodus chapter 19, the first path they were to take was the path of obedience. And he said to them very clearly, he said, I want you to obey my voice. As we read throughout Scripture, that command stands the same today as well. Throughout the Old Testament and throughout the New Testament, that is repeated over and over again. Obey my voice. Obey my voice. Obey my voice. We read in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, the Lord Jesus in that night in which he was betrayed, the time when he instituted the Last Supper, when he met with his disciples the last time, and he describes for them what he wants for them. He says, if you love me, you will obey me. And the Scriptures call for obedience. And so the old path that God wants us to follow as we follow him is the path of obedience. He requires us to obey his word and to obey his voice. So that's the first part of the old path that God laid out for them in Exodus 19. In that chapter, we find a second path. He describes those people, his people, that he has just brought out of Egypt. He describes them as a holy nation. God brought them out of Egypt that he might secure unto himself a holy nation. The second part of the old path is holy living, commonly called holiness. There is very little emphasis today in the Church of Jesus Christ in dealing with personal holiness. In fact, it has gotten to the point in the church today where people are more concerned about what they can do that the world does and still be a Christian. Many a time I have given an answer, question and answer session with people. And that's one of the primary questions that I receive every time, is they'll say, Tom, can I do this? And they'll name some activity and still be a Christian. My friend, I would challenge you today that if you are not walking in holiness, then I would challenge and question you whether or not you are a true Christian. Because the Scriptures tell us that those who have committed their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ pursue personal holiness. That's one of the requirements that God laid down for us in his word. We read in 1 Peter, for example, that it says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And God is in the process of conforming his children into his image. And if he is holy, then one of the processes that he wants to develop in us is personal holiness. That's an old path that Jeremiah was pointing out to these people. One was obedience. A second was personal holiness. Now we find in Exodus 19 a third aspect of the old path that God had laid out for his people. And that's this. He promised them that if they would obey him, and if they would be holy, He would bring His very presence right into their midst. And He would be there, and they would see Him, and they would know Him, and they would sense His personal presence there with them. And not only would His presence be there, but His power, His supernatural authority and ability would be among them as His people. And we find throughout the Old Testament, as the children of Israel followed the old path, as they obeyed God, as they walked in holiness before God, God was faithful. He came down amongst them with His very presence. Often it's described as like a cloud would come down upon them. And He would be there with supernatural power and authority in their lives. We find it in the New Testament as well. And all throughout all of church history, as we look back over the years, down through history, going back to scriptural times, we find that in every era of history, when man has obeyed God's voice, when he has walked in holiness after a holy God, God has sent His presence. And He has been there among the people. And He has demonstrated to them His presence there by displaying His power, His supernatural authority, His supernatural ability, performing that which man cannot accomplish in his own strength and in his own wisdom and in his own skill. So that we find in Jeremiah's evaluation of the people during the time of King Josiah, that he pointed out to them the three signs of spiritual decay. They were self-righteous. They were self-defensive. And they were self-satisfied. Sure indications of their spiritual decline away from God. But then Jeremiah also pointed out to them the path to spiritual revival, the path of obedience, the path of personal holiness, and in responding in obedience and in holiness to God, God would then send His presence among them in supernatural ways, proving Himself faithful. I have a question for you now. And the question is this: what does the Spirit of God want to accomplish in your life today with these truths from God's Word? Well, there are several things He would like to accomplish. Number one is He wants to clarify the truth of your true spiritual condition. He wants to clarify for you the truth of His desires for you to walk in obedience and in holiness after Him. He also wants to point out that if we will obey, His presence will come among us. So He wants to clarify for us the truth of His Word, that we may mold and shape our lives after the truth of God's Word and not after our own designs and our own desires. So the first thing is clarifying the truth. Secondly, He wants to convict us of sin. I would ask you today, where in your life has the Spirit of God pointed out in your life self-satisfaction in your own spiritual condition? Where you have been defensive of yourself on the outward when the inward is not following after God with a whole heart? When you are self-righteous, just like these people, just like the Pharisees were in Jesus' day, where has He pinpointed in your heart that kind of sin? And where has He pointed out in your heart the failure to walk after the old ways? The failure to walk in obedience. The failure to walk in holiness. The failure to experience the very presence of God in your heart and in your life on a daily basis. The Spirit of God will convict you today. And He has pointed out in your life where you, like these people, have sinned against God. The third thing that the Spirit of God wants to do with these truths is He wants to then correct us. He wants us to walk in the right path. And when we walk in the right path according to His promise, we will then experience conformity to the desires and the purpose and the will of God for our lives. One last question for you. What changes does the Spirit of God have to make in your heart and in your life today? Is there conviction of sin that He has brought to you? Then I would challenge you today to yield, to bow the knee to the work of the Spirit of God in your heart and in your life today. Confess the sin that He has pointed out to you. Repent. Turn from that sin. Pursue the old paths that the Scriptures identify and lay out for us, that you might begin to experience God's spiritual revival in your life today.